ESPN Cleveland Sports Center.
I'm Dave DiNatale, tracking a story according to a Cleveland police report. Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel was part of a fight at a downtown apartment building in the late hours Friday night. The victim, 33-year-old Chris Gonos, telling Scene Magazine he went to approach Manziel, was tackled by a member of his security force, which started the brawl. Gonos alleges Manziel threw a punch. We're still tracking his story. In a statement, Browns GM Ray Farmer saying, "The time of the incident is concerning to us. We are aware of it and in the process of gathering additional information." Back to Browns Daily, I'm Dave DiNatale.
Ryan takes the snap, pressure coming up in the pocket. He got hit, and then Kruger's got him at the 40-yard line, trying to rip the ball out. There's a loose ball on the ground. The Browns think they might have come up with it. Cleveland ball, they've got it.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action at live at First Energy Stadium. Now is the first chance to get your 2015 season ticket deposits underway right now. Call 240-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com for more information. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius there. That was Jim Donovan on the call of Paul Kruger's first of two sacks. That was the one that he forced a fumble, recovered by the Browns, led to a Billy Cundiff field goal. He now has six career multiple sack games, two of them this season, six sacks in the last five games alone, and he's got eight sacks on the season. Now the most for a Brown since Jabal Sheard had 8.5 back in 2011. Time to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in the three-time Super Bowl champion, Gerard Cherry. Gerard, what another unbelievable win by this Browns team. What was your number one takeaway from the comeback win over the Falcons?
Really, never say never, Nathan, because when
44
seconds was left on the clock, I saw no chance of this team winning this game. Yet Brian proved me wrong with his play, along with the rest of his teammates, just being clutch at the right time.
Gerard, how impressed are you with Crow? 12 carries, 88 yards.
Very impressive in that unheralded, undrafted rookie player, quiet, soft-spoken, but he makes all his noise on the football field, and you have to appreciate that. And I'm just thinking to myself, the sky's the limit for what he can do. That's what 12 carries. Just imagine if the scenario was the other way around, where it wasn't as many pass attempts and more rushes, could have easily got to the 150-yard range from a rushing standpoint.
Gerard, with Gibson out now for a few weeks here, what's your thoughts on how this defensive backfield shapes up? I mean, you've been a defensive back in the league for a long time. When you lose a guy that's leading the NFL in interceptions, how do you make up for a loss like that? Do you see a Jim Leonard coming in, taking his place, trying not to make mistakes? Do you think it's an upgrade? It's just what do you see in that defensive backfield position as we move forward?
Well, you're definitely going to lose the production, Joe, that Sean brings to the table. And sometimes guys just have a magnet for the football, and he seems to be that guy in which the ball just wants to come his way. And only a few people get that each year, the privilege of having that sense of the ball being in their face all the time. So you're going to lose that. But what you do get with Jim Leonard is just a guy who's a pro.
Right. You do get a pro, knows this system well, has been with Mike Pettine, various stops, Jets, Bills as well. But, Gerard, one guy who came back and made, I think, the biggest impact on this game, Josh Gordon. What did you see from the Browns' number one receiver in his first game back? You certainly seemed to make eight catches for 120 yards look rather effortless. And what does he mean for this team going forward?
It opens everything up. Guys spoke about it after the game. But when you have someone of his magnitude and stature, you take notice of it. If you're a defensive coordinator, you say to yourself, let me get this straight. This guy's been out 10 games, comes back, puts up over 100-plus yards, eight catches, and probably could have had 200 yards had the quarterback and he'd been on the same page. And that right there just makes you alarmed and say, hey, we're going to cover somebody with this guy, extra men. You can't have nine guys in a box no more, and you're going to have to just respect what he's doing, and that's going to free everybody up on the offense.
Gerard, you talked about the quarterback and them not having the rapport. How concerned are you with the some of the decisions that Brian Hoyer made with the football, and also to some of the throws that he made? And again, really quickly, is a lot of people are using this excuse of, hey, you know, he's not had a full year to start, but this is his 11th game, and that has got to be something concerned moving forward if this is in fact a playoff football team.
Well, I'm very concerned with it because it was poor decision making on Brian's part, poor decision making and poor ball location to add to it. So that's just a bad situation anyway about it. Now, I support Brian. I believe Brian can get the job done. But one thing Brian's going to have to do, and it's easy for me to sit here and say this, but he has a lot of pressure on him. The pressure of getting the ball to Josh Gordon, the pressure of not getting hurt, the pressure of proving people wrong that he can be this quarterback for the Browns of the future, the pressure that, hey, he is a legitimate player. All those things are in place, and he has at the back of his mind, but what he has to do is ignore that and let the game come to him. And what I saw yesterday was a guy forcing the issue, doing things that he just does not have no business doing and normally does not do. So if he continues to play this way, we will not get in the playoffs because the margin of error is so tight that you cannot afford to have those type of mistakes and expect to win moving forward.
Gerard, I'm sure you've heard about Johnny Manziel's latest potential incident there. What's your thought on it? Right now, all we know for sure is that he was out with friends at 2:30 in the morning. We don't know really what happened around that in any type of concrete fact. But do you have a problem with Johnny being out at that time on a Friday night?
Considering it's a Friday night and you're going to play Sunday, I do have issues because he's a quarterback. That's the only reason why I have an issue with it, because I know it's biased, I know it's wrong, but I just think quarterbacks have a different type of pressure than a receiver, than a running back, than a tight end or a DB or anybody else on the football team. So I would say take care of your business, not that laid out, because what are you're going to need that energy. It's late in the season. You're a young player. No, you have not played. But again, Johnny needs to realize that that allows people to form a narrative against him that he's not professional and that he's not ready to have the organization hand it over to him. So he doesn't help his cause. I mean, I'd be a liar if I told you I wasn't out at 2:30 in the morning on a Friday night. Heck, but sometimes I didn't come home at 6 o'clock in the morning.
The only person I could see in this whole thing that is comparable to Johnny Manziel is Tom Brady, and I just don't see Tom being out till 2:30 in the morning, but I could be wrong. Gerard, moving forward here, what do the Browns have to do? What's one area that you see the Browns having to improve on in order to make themselves a playoff team?
We have to figure out what we're going to commit to the run or passing game. Because right now it seems like we're going through questioning identity on offense. Because I'm of the opinion that we are at our best when we're a dominant run team from a play-calling standpoint. And 2 weeks in a row, I've seen more runs than passes take place. Now, some could say, well, it's a situation in the game, but I don't think that's the case. So I really do think that we're better off when we make up our mind and determine that we're going to run more than pass. I understand the point of a play-action pass. I understand the point of a balance in your attack. But ultimately, I want an imbalance, and I want more run and less pass.
Gerard, really quickly, just to piggyback that last question, is do you think that some of our struggles in the run game have kind of are looming in Kyle Shanahan's mind? And then also, too, having Josh Gordon back is why we kind of went a little bit pass-heavy in that football game.
Yeah, you like anyone. Not to equate Josh to a toy, but when you have something new to your arsenal and something in your toy chest, what do you want to do? You obviously want to play with it and see what it can do for you. So I get that, and don't get me wrong. Josh Gordon is a weapon and a half. You have to utilize his skill set. He can win games for you. But ultimately, if this is going to be a play-action-based passing team and a ball-control passing team, you're going to have to run the football, especially with the weather changing, for the worse and not the better. So I think we need to really get back to that identity and mentality.
Gerard, thanks for your insights. As always, feed the crow. Everybody's on board with it. Let's go. Yes, indeed. All right, Gerard, appreciate it.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, when we come back, Matt, Joe, and I will hand out our game balls. Final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.